There we go. So, my goal is to try to finish everything this week, which would mean that the next, okay, if you look at the calendar, if we finish any of this REED project, so please download those. And unzip them, obviously. And the first one we're going to look at is the write, because we have to write before we can read. Everybody got them downloaded?
I'm still waiting for my computer to boot up.
The story of our life.
Geez, what are these things running, Vista?
What?
Geez, what are these things running, Vista?
There are too many computers on.
It's making.
We're doing the Visual Studio, right?
Visual Studio, right.
Yeah,
and later we'll be doing Access, but we're starting out with Visual Studio.
By the way, I forget who it was. Somebody helped me out with going through Secure Download Manager to launch Visual Basics on my home computer. For some reason, I can download it, but you have to launch it through this. Somebody had told me to fix, but I forgot, and I ended up losing the program, so I re-downloaded it. I don't know, I have it up here, but it says launch, it's downloaded, I just can't launch it.
I can look at it, but I'm not sure how much good I am without having followed the steps. What version are you downloading? 15?
No,
13. 13, okay. You can go to the help desk and see if they can help too. Okay, so we're going to do project write text. So I I have it on my flash drive in the VB folder, project write text. And I'm clicking on the SLN. So the SLN will open. Eventually. Try using our computers for class today.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting so long for right now.
Visual Studio's not responding.
The computer I got from my ex could run faster. So that's Windows 3.1.
What's the use of living if you can't complain? We try to provide lots of reasons for you to complain. If you're having problems, Carolyn, can you look at that? Okay, so the big difference, I went in, here's my form, and my form has three fields on it. An ID number, a name, and a major. And then I have a key that will write and a key that will end. Okay? So if I take a look at the code, the only thing you have to change on this in order to get it working for you is the address of where you want the output to go. Okay? This is the address for the output. And you're going to have to change that. I want my output to go to my F drive, to a folder that I created called VB, and I want it to be saved as studentf15.txt. So that's what I made. But you can make it go anywhere. You can make it go to the T drive, You can make it go to your flash drive, you can make it go wherever you want, but you're gonna have to say, change the address so that you have control about where the output is gonna go. Okay, and again, I use the F drive, I used a folder called VB, and then I said I wanna call the output studentf15.txt. But you can call it anything you want. Okay, so make that change. Okay, so now let's look at how it works. When I click on the write button, it's going to execute this routine up here called write. So I said dim and I made up a name and I called it data write. So the line that I want to write is going to be called data write. And I said what I want to write is a string that is made up of the ID number from the form. So it's text ID number dot text, concatenated with a comma. The comma is the separator or delimiter. So one field, comma, next field, comma, next field. So I've got a field concatenated with a comma, concatenated with the name field, concatenated with a comma, concatenated with the major field, concatenated with VBCRLF, which is line control, carriage control, there we go, carriage control line feed, which means it will move down to the next line. So I'm going to create a text file, and I'm going to write this record. I write a record with an ID, comma, name, comma, major, and then I'm going to move down to the next line. VBCRLF moves me down to the next line. So the next time I click this, I'll write another line, and then I'll move down to the next line, and I'll just keep moving. So that's what the VBCRLF does for me. Then I, basically, the next line, I do a bunch of copying. My computer.filesystem.writeAllText, that's a copy. Then I put in the name of the file and the address where I wanted to go to. This data write is the thing I dimmed over here, so I dim data write. And true means I will add to the file. If I false, would start new. So it would wipe out anything already on the file and start new. True adds to the file. So I've already got 6 records on it. I did 3 when I was testing. I did 3 in the class before yours. And now I'm going to add some more records. So true means I will just keep adding to the file. So that's all I need to do to write, is set up those lines and then it writes. And after I write, I just cleared all of my text boxes, and text ID number dot focus means I put the cursor in the first one. So I put the cursor back in the first one. Okay. So now if I want to run this, and if you change the address, you too can run it. Okay, so I'm going to hit start. And I'm going to put in 911 or 910. And the name is going to be Kevin Brown. And the major is going to be CI. And then I click write. Okay? And then I put in 912, and the name is going to be Ann Brooks, and the major is CI, and I say write. And then I'm going to put in 914, and it's going to be Jane Doe, and the major is going to be BU, and I'm going to write. So I kept writing these records. And now when I'm done, I click on end. So now I'm going to go down to my text, and I'm going to say file, open, and I'm going to say go to my F drive, go to VB, and find student F15.txt. And I am saying open that. And that's what I have there. And you can see the last three are the ones that I just added. But the others were already there and it kept them. But the last three are the ones that I added. So try that and see if you can do it.
So how do you change the
the address?
Yeah.
And just go in and type over it.
Oh.
But you have to pick an address you want. So you have to go to the T drive. You can put it on the root of the T drive. I made a folder, but you don't need to make a folder. So I could have T and then just a name, .txt. And it will save it as a text file. Okay, it doesn't matter what you call it. But it's got to be, if you want to put it on the T drive, you're going to put a T. If you want to put it someplace else, you're going to put it someplace else. Does anything come up on either computer?
I think the help desk probably has more experience with that, so I think.
Unfortunately, I downloaded it a year or so ago, and I don't remember the steps.
Yeah, it's really simple.
It's still simple.
What's going on? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But there's something about... It's painful.
I'm in legitimate pain right now.
Somebody look at my steps.
Yeah, 82%. All it does open the internet.
So that, I mean, you can look at that and see if that will give you.
Oh, God.
As that goes through the steps. Okay, so you want to just change the address. I don't know what address yours came up with. I think it had a more complicated address than what I changed it to. But all you're doing is changing the address that's inside the quotes. And as I said, the simplest way is to have T colon slash and then a name. And it will go to the T drive. Or if you wanted to go to one of your flash drives, you have to figure out what drive it's on. Mine's on the F drive, and so I have to send it to the F drive.
Can you put it to desktop?
No, you're saving a file. Everybody got it working?
Yeah. It may not, like you say, run the wheel in the C drive. Try training that for the T. Oh, all right. You don't have your right. Make it. Do you have a folder you can save it in? Just any folder you want. Or just any folder. Do you have a folder called B? Do you have anything in there? Any kind of folder, mine or whatever. Yeah, I guess. Well, just, you know, I'll go in to the drive and just make a quick folder. I made it called BB. Or you can put it in any folder. Or if you have a flash drive, you can put that in.
Yeah, but you should be able to save to the root of the C. But for some reason, I know I've had problems at points in that. Has anybody got something working? Ah, come on. Somebody must have it working. Okay.
Where is it writing to?
Wherever you told it to write.
So it would be t:\melissa.txt, so the root of the T drive.
So you go to the root of the T drive and open melissa.txt and it should be there. So there it is. Working? All you have to do is change the address. Okay? So she put it on the T drive and she just put t:\melissa.txt and it was just fine. Did you get it working?
Yeah. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to
internally you can change like change where it goes.
That's right. You've got to send it someplace. And if you're sitting on the school computer, the easiest thing is to put it on the T drive.
So at the ending, because you put
No, this one is set up to do a text, although just to do a text thing. It's set up to do a text. Okay. There are ways where you can create databases and database tables, but they're far more complex than this. And so that kind of goes in the course on Visual Basic. I don't do that here.
Okay.
But so this is just creating a quick and dirty text file. Okay. And in fact, that's what the world's all about, is saving data and accessing data. That's why computers are so wonderful, is they save data for us and they access data and we don't have to keep it all in our heads. Okay. Now I'm going to go in and read this. So I'm going to close it down and I'm going to go in and read. So I'm saying file, open project, and I'm going to open the read project.
So we're going to close this whole thing
out? Well, don't close out VB. Just no. Close out the project. Close. And I'm going into the read. Okay, so this is the read program. Now, the only thing that, there's the form, ID number, name, major, and a read button so that I'll read these. And if I run this, when I click read, it gives me the first record, then the second, then the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. It keeps going, and I keep seeing the records. And then when I finally am done, it comes back and says, end of file reached. So it's telling me there are no more records. Now, in order to be able to run this, you have to change the address. And you have to make it exactly the same address that you had on the right.
so that you are going to read that file. You wrote it, I wrote it, and I put it on the F drive in VB directory, and I called it student F15.txt. So when I'm reading it, I have to read it from the F drive in the VB folder, and the name is student F15.txt. Okay, so I've got to have exactly the same address there so that it can find the file and read it. I wrote it, now it has to find it and read it. Does that make sense? That would be nod head up and down or sideways.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So now I have my explanation of what this does. I said dim my reader, so that's the name of it, as, and then I copy that stuff in. Okay, that's a copy and paste. If you ask me what that says, I can't tell you. But I know how to find it, copy it, and paste it, okay? And I have no intention of ever memorizing that because it's just not something I'm worth memorizing. I keep my examples around, okay? So I just do a copy and paste of Microsoft Visual Basic File I/O Text Field Parser, okay? And I then put the address in. Then on the button read, I said dim current row as a string. If not my reader end of data, okay, my reader was defined up here. If not end of data, so if it's not my reader end of data, then the current row is going to read a record from the file. And then it is going to take current row 0 and move it to text ID. Current row 1 and move it to text name. Current row 2 and move it to major. So that means, remember, I wrote 3 fields and they were each separated by a comma. So current row 0 is the first field. Current row 1 is the second field. Current row 2 is the third field. And it is moving those to the text boxes so that I see them on the text box. Now, the way it knows that a comma is the separator is on form read load. Okay? I mentioned load before. If you double click any place, any vacant place on a form, it will create the load procedure. Any vacant place, just double click any place, and it creates the load procedure. And the only thing I do in this load procedure is my reader is the thing I dimmed up there, then I copy this. My reader set delimiter to a comma, and so I tell it the comma is a separator. When I did the first one, if I had put a slash in between the fields, field one concatenated with a slash, then I would now tell it that the delimiter is a slash. It needs to know what the separator is. What's the thing that's separating the fields? Maybe I used an asterisk. Then I have to tell it that I used an asterisk. Okay? So that is, a lot of this really is just copy and paste. If you have 5 fields, then you'd have current row 0, current row 1, current row 2, current row 3, current row 4. But it would be the same thing, okay? Where you read each field and put it someplace. Questions?
I couldn't even get it to open the read pro. It's just saying it's unavailable. You can kind of read it. I don't know why.
Carolyn is coming to the rescue. Okay, questions? If you got it written before, try now getting it to read. So if you were successful in getting the right, try now getting the read.
You know, so open my read. The only thing you have to do is take whatever address you used on the right and put it in there. And then it will read.
Okay. So if you got the right twerk, you just have to remember the address and put it in here. Questions? If you haven't opened Access yet, you can also in the background try to tell that it wants to open, but we'll see. Did you get a reading? Okay, I'm getting some yeses. Okay. Since I didn't give you a homework on this, I strongly would not be surprised if it shows up on the final. So, in other words, make sure you understand it. Your final, by the way, is going to be on the 17th. There are two dates out there for this particular, for the, my CIS 120 classes, and it's not fair because I posted that everybody has different times. So therefore, the final is going to be due on the 17th so that everybody has the same amount of time, because if one class had the 17th and the other class had the 20th, that's really not fair. So the 17th is when the final is going to be due. Presuming that I'm talking fast enough, and I think I am, we are going to finish up this week. You'll get your last homework assignment this week. The next week and a half will be open labs in here from 9:30 until 3 to get yourself caught up. Okay, so there'll be open labs in here from 9:30 till 3:30, I guess, actually, on next Tuesday and Thursday and the following Tuesday. The final is due on Thursday. I will post the final a little more than a week ahead of time. In other words, it will be the finals on a Thursday. I'll post it before the Thursday's. Finals on the 17th, I'll post it before the 10th. It's at home. The final is an at-home, open notes, open book. Just you can't talk to your friends.
Okay?
So it's a week. You have a week to do it. It's open notes, open book. No friends, okay? And it is covering pretty much everything. What I've got on there is some required problems and some optional problems. And you can figure out how to get enough points by, once you've done the required, then maybe there's 40 points or 30 points of optional. And you can pick and choose which optional ones you want to do to get the right number of points. Okay, your final counts 10% of your grade. So, in fact, it counts about the same as three homework assignments. Okay? Exactly. So, homework is the key. 80% of your grade is homework and quizzes. Okay? 10% is being responsible. The person that passes in all their work in December can pretty much say goodbye to a good portion of responsible, okay? And 10% of your grade is the final, okay? So, that's where we stand. The final will be up before the 10th. You have a week to do it, and it has to be passed in at the time that I post, which is the time the final starts, okay? There is also a required status sheet that you have to fill out. The status sheet just is kind of listing all of the assignments, and you have to tell me whether you did them. And they basically, I will not correct the final without a status sheet. So I just won't correct it unless I get the status sheet. The status sheet is really your insurance, because if I don't have a grade for something and you say that you did it, I will contact you and say, send me a copy. Okay? So it's your insurance policy. I don't make too many mistakes, but I make mistakes. Okay? Filling in the grade book, I can occasionally make a mistake. And, or sometimes emails don't get through. So I want, the status sheet is your insurance. That if you say you did it and I don't have it, I will get back to you and say, send it to me. Okay? So that's the importance of the status sheet. Okay, so now I have to talk fast, so let's move on. I am now going to start looking at access again. Okay. First of all, we're going to get technical. There are whole courses on designing an access database. It is, or any kind of database. It's extraordinarily complex. We are just going to get a taste of it so that you kind of understand what the words are more than anything else. I'm not expecting 1 week to turn you into database developers. But we're going to talk about the concepts. So the first thing is that there is called a relational database. And relational databases have dominated the database world for a good long time. Now there is big data, and big data is, who knows what the future has to hold. But right now, big data is mainly used by major corporations. It's not as much down into smaller companies. And besides, they already have the relational database. If it's not broken, don't fix it. So Amazon and places like that go with big data because of the volume that they have. But a company that doesn't have that volume finds that a relational database is just fine. So rules were developed for making a relational database. And the first rules that are key are third normal form. And third normal form has three rules down here. A relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay, so we're going to talk about what that means. But first, a few years ago, I made a phone call and I wanted to order 7 things. And I gave my name and my address and my email and all the rest. And then I went through and I gave 5 things. And when I finished doing the 5 things, the woman said, thank you for your order. And I said, I'm not done. I got 2 more things that I want. And she said, well, you can only order 5 things. And I said, but I want 2 more. And finally, she decided that she guessed she'd have to put up with me. And so she said, all right, give me your name. And I gave her my name, my address, what items I wanted. So essentially, she created a second order for me. So I had 1 order with 5 items on it and 1 order with 2 items on it. But she could only do 5. So if I'd wanted 12 things, I would have gotten 3 orders. Okay? That's because she had repeating groups. So what she had was, I was assigned an ID for the order, invoice number, whatever. I was given an ID. So I had an ID, then I gave my name, my address, all of that good stuff. And then she had a slot where I could say, item 1, code. I want the code for item 1. Item 1, quantity. Item 1, price. And then item 2, code. Item 2, quantity. Item two, price. And then it went on to item three and item four. That's what it means by repeating groups. If I do it that way, I can only have five items. You can only order five items if I only have five slots like that. That doesn't work. Think about the school. If they had on your student record all the courses you took, and they said no student will ever take more than 30 courses. Well, first of all, Max would have been long gone because he took way over 30 courses. But that's the problem with repeating groups. So I can't do that because that is repeating groups. So I can't do that. So what I have to do is say I will have a customer table, and this is my customer table. And it will have the ID, the name, and the address, and the key will be the primary key. Because remember, primary key has to uniquely define. So my ID is my primary key. And then I will have a second table that is customer items or something like that. And it will also have my ID, because I need to be able to link it over to here and get my name and address. One of the primary rules of databases is you try not to carry any piece of information more than once, except a linking piece of information, an ID. Because if I put the name on a bunch of things and somebody changes their name, I've got to go and change it in a bunch of places. Or worse yet, if I misspell it a few places and spell it different ways, then nobody knows it's the same person. Okay? You must all get junk mail with your name misspelled on it. I get junk mail from companies, sometimes three copies with my name in different versions. Okay? So I would have on the customer ID my ID. And then I would put the date of the order, and then I would put the item code, the item quantity, and the item price. And so if I want seven things, there will be seven of those records. Each one will have my ID, the date that I ordered it, and the code, the quantity, and the price. Okay. So the primary key will be these three things: the ID and the date and the code. So if I ordered seven things and my ID was 111 and the date was December now, isn't it? Well, we'll order it in November. November 3015. And the item code was 100. And then if I had a second thing, it would still be me. It would still be the same date, okay? But it would be for code 202, because I ordered 202. And then I would want one of those and one of these, and the price is $5 and the price is $10 or whatever. These three things make up the primary key. So if I have those three things, I can uniquely identify every record. But if it was an ID, the person could only order one thing from me ever. If it was ID and date, they could only order one thing from me on a given date. So I gotta have ID, date, and code. And then they can order multiple things. So seven things, I would have seven things that say 111, November 30th, 15, but they would be seven different item numbers. Questions? Okay. So that is repeating groups. The other one is a relationship is in second formal form. If it is in first normal form,
and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay. So, I can't have anything on this table that doesn't relate to all three parts. So I've got quantity is the quantity that that person ordered on that date of that item. Price is the person ordered on that date for that item. So those all relate to the whole thing. Now, if I try to put on something like item name, item name only relates to the code. Okay? And so that wouldn't work because it would be only dependent on half of the primary key. So that's a problem. That's also a problem on the third part where it says a relation is in normal form if it's in second normal form and if the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. So again, this ends up, if I put item name on, item code determines the item name. And so that would be illegal from that point of view as well. Okay, so everything has to be related to the entire key, not to part of the key. Okay. So, now we are going to take a look at a table and some examples. So, we're going to look at this one. And this one is, if you look at my what I looked at is student 4 table data needed. And then we will look at student 4 table database. So what I've got here is information, and I'm going to need multiple tables. So my first table is going to be my student table. And if I have my student table, I'm going to put all of that information in it. The student ID, the name, the city, the state, the GPA, and I probably would want the cell phone, and I'd probably want the email address and all of that sort of stuff. And this will be the primary key, the student ID, because that uniquely identifies each student. Okay. Then I said the next table I wanted was a department table. And the department table is going to have the department code, department major, department is major, think of it as major. You're in the CI department, the CI major, whichever. Department name and the department chair. Okay. Now, I decide that I want to relate these two. The department code, I should have said, is the primary key. Because CI will be up there if you're a CI major, BU will be there if you're a business major, OF will be there if you're office administration, whatever. But I need to relate these two tables. So in order to do that, I'm going to store department code down here as another field. And that means that if I, in my access, if I link these two, and we'll see how you do that in a few minutes, if I link those two, then I can get access to anything on both tables. If they're linked, I can get access to anything on both tables. So I put the department code in there so that I can relate it or link it to the department code on the department table. Now, one of the things that they talked about was determinants. The reason I have to have that table is if I had tried to put department name in here, it is determined by department code. Department code determines the department name, okay? If I say you're in the CI department, then I know you're in the Computer Information Systems department. If I say you're in the CU department, I know you're in the Culinary Arts department, okay? The code determines the name. So you cannot have a determinant that's not the primary key. And so that is wrong. I can't have that there. Which is why I need to set up a separate table for the department name if I want to get the department name. So I set up that table with the department code, department name, and the department chair. Because in this case, department code was a determinant. I told you I want the great spelling. But anyway. There we go. Sorry. So I've got to have that as a determinant if I put department name in, and that doesn't work. So I am taking out department name and putting it in a separate table. Also think of the practicality of these, and these rules are very practical. If I want to know what your major name, what the name is, that you're in computer information systems, and let's say I change it, and I changed it to whatever. That would mean I would have to go into every student and change it if I carried it here. If I carry it over here, I have to change it once. And then all CI majors go in. So the school's gonna think twice before they think they change a code. A name, not a problem. Code, I have to go into everybody, so they're gonna think twice about changing a code. Now, the third table that I am setting up is the course table. So I'm going to have the courses table. And then the last one I'm setting up is the student courses table. So the courses table is all of the courses offered by the college, so CIS 120. And so it's course number, course name, and the number of credits. And course number would be the primary key. Okay? So, now I want to have student course table. Well, I've got to know who the student is, so I've got to have the student ID. I've got to know what course they're taking, so I'm going to have the course number. That would be enough for the primary key if no student ever took the same course twice. But that's just not true. A student may take the same course twice. So I need to add in here semester year. And semester year is like fall 15 or something like that. These together make the primary key. So all of those together make the primary key.
Oh, grade.
Grade is a field that I'm putting on here. And grade is just that, it's just a field. But it relates to the entire primary key because it's the grade for that student taking that course during that time period. So if I have 111 is the student, CIS 120, semester year is fall 15, and an A. Person 111 also took CIS 121 in the fall of 15 and got a B. And then if it took three other courses, 111, and it would just change. And then let's say student 222 took CIS 120 in the fall of 115 and got a C. And so that's what this table would look like. Okay? These three things together are the primary key. So those three things together make up the primary key. Okay, because there is no unique field. There is no number that could take, that could be unique. So the combination of course, student ID, course number, and semester year is unique. And if I change any part of this, it makes it unique. So if I added in here a student 111 that took CIS 120 in the spring of 15 and got a W. Okay, so that's in there. Person 111 took 120, but I've changed the semester from fall to spring, and they got a W. So that means as part of the key is unique, which means the whole thing is unique. Questions? Okay, then what I want to look at is the database. So if you go and bring up Access, and the last class I had lots of problems bringing up Access. And what we want to do is go back to my homepage, and here's the Access database. So I'm going to save it. Save link as. I am going to save it on my drive, and then I'm going to come over here and open it. Student 4 table example ACCDB. Okay, so I've opened it. And I've got four tables on here that we just talked about. The student table, the department table, the student course table, and the course table. Okay, so I've got my four tables there. If I click on my student table, okay, that's the information that I have. Okay, and on this one, I happen to put department code in before I put the GPA, but it's there. So I've got student ID, student name, city, state, department code, and the student GPA. Notice that the primary key is the student ID. Okay, that's got the primary key symbol on it. Okay, then if I open the department table, the department has department code, department name, department chair, and the department code is the primary key. Then if I open the student course table, it has the three IDs. Okay, notice I said there was a three-part ID. I've got the key in front of each one. If you highlight the three, what am I doing? Okay, primary key. I want to get rid of these, actually. And I'm not doing a very good job. Okay, there, I clicked on primary key and got rid of them. Now, if I highlight all three, okay, so I've highlighted all three, and then I click on primary key, it makes all three the primary key. So I just highlighted all three, and then I went up and clicked on primary key, and it makes it the primary key for all of them. So this one has a primary key of student ID, course number, semester year, and grade. Okay. And then the last one is the course table, and it has course number, course name, number of credits, and course number is my primary key. Okay. So three of the tables have a single field as the primary key. One of them had a compound primary key. It had three different fields. So if I look at the student course table, there is the student course table, and I have the records in there. Okay. So student 11111 in the spring of 10 took two different courses, and so they're both there, and they got an A and a B in the courses. Okay. Down at the bottom, you see student 3333 took one course in fall 09 and got an F, came back in spring 10, retook that course, and then took another course and got C's in them. Okay. So I've got my data there. Okay. If I look at my course table, my course table has accounting 11, CIS 120, so those are what I call the course numbers. And it would be lovely if I could get rid of that there. Okay, let's see. Department has just BU and CI in it. And department and student, we saw, has a bunch of different students. And we have codes of either CI or BU, since that's all that's in the department table. Okay, so I've set up these four tables now. And I'm going to close them. And I'm never going to remember their names, so if somebody wants to leave it open so they can tell me the names of things, it would be great. Okay, so now I am going to create a query. Actually, with creating a query this way, I don't need you to keep it open. I was thinking of SQL. So I'm creating a query, and I'm going to use the student table and the department table for my first query. So that means I'm going to click on the student table and say add. And then I'm going to click on the department table and say add. Okay. Now it very frequently will figure out the link and will draw this line. Etchett did very nicely for me. If it doesn't figure out the link between the two, I can highlight department code on the student table and drag it over and drop it on department code on the department table, and it will make the line. But since I call them the same, it frequently does it for me. But if I highlight department code on the student table, and drag it over and drop it on top of department code on the department table, it figures out that that should be the link, and it links the two together. Okay? So now I am going to get some information from both tables. So I'm going to come down here and say, I want to see the student ID. I want to see the student name, and I want to see the department code, and I want to see the department name. Okay? Now notice what it does here. It says these three things came from the student table, this came from the department table. So it's telling me what it got it from. And that line up there tells me that it is linking the two tables. Okay? So if I run this now, if I come over here and say I want to see the data sheet view, there's what I've got. Okay? It has given me the five students, their majors, and they use the department code to link into the department table and grab the computer information. Okay. Now, just to prove it, I'm going to go back to the view, and I'm going to change and add in here that I want the department code. So now I've got the department code from the student table, and I've got the department code from the department table. So I've got them both.
So two different department codes?
No, they're going to be the same because they're linked. Since they're linked, they're going to be the same. So I'm showing it twice just to prove that point. So notice that they are linked, so they are the same. CICICIBU, CICICIBU. They're linked, so they're the same. And so putting it up there the second time kind of proved it. Okay, if I drag this out a little bit up here, well, I guess I have to actually drag it. Okay, notice that says student department code, and this one says department code. So if something occurs on two tables, it tells it to me by saying, this is the department code on the student table, this is the department code on the department table. So it gets very specific.
Mine doesn't say student department code. It says EXPR1002.
I have no idea. I'll look at it after class if you want to hang around. EXPR, oh, that's expression. Okay, so something's wrong. You used the wrong name or something. Because that means it wasn't able to do something. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to the view, and I'm going to take this line out. Can I take that line out, please? Delete. Okay, so I'm going to take that line out. So taking the line out means I clicked on it and hit delete. I thought I could just hit the delete button. Making it out means there's no link happening. So notice what happens. I get every possible combination. So Jane Costa gets put in the CI department once and in the BU department once. John Doe gets put in the CI and the BU. David Smith gets put in the CI and the BU. It gives me every possible combination. So when I don't link, I get every possible combination. Okay. Questions? You want to save the change? Yes. And this is Stu Department. Okay, so now let's try the next thing. I'm going to say I want to create another query, and I'm going to bring up the student course, and I'm going to bring up the course table. Okay, on this one, it didn't do my magic linking. So, therefore, I have to link it. And some of you may have gotten it that it did it. I don't know. So I'm going to drag course number from one to course number on the other, and it makes the link. So I did that drag, and it made the link. Okay. So now I'm going to say, okay, I want to see everything about the student. I want to see the student ID, the course number, But then I also want to see the course name and the number of credits. And then I want to go back and see the semester year and the grade. So I'm basically seeing everything.
Notice it tells me what table they all came from. Okay.
So now if I click on view, it shows me all of the courses that were in the student course table, and it shows me the name of the course along with the grade that the person got on it. If I wanted to know the student's name, I'd have to go back in and add another table in. Okay? So if I decided, gee, that's lovely, but I also want to know the student's name, I would have to go back here, and I'd have to have the three tables showing, and then I could get the course name. So I would have to bring up a third table, the student table, and then I could do the course name. Okay, so try if we have, I don't know how much time we have. Are we out of time?
We have approximately 7 minutes left.
Oh, about four, actually. See, if you have it open, try to do a quick query where you bring up the student course, and the student. And so you can do exactly what I did, except add one more table and bring up the student's name. And we will try to remember to look at that on Thursday.
What is the, you have extra credit quiz or something up on today's?
Yes.
Is that for today? Due today?
No. It's due. Actually, I don't think I put a due date on it. No. Let's make it due this time next week.
Because I got confused because I went to your video because I wasn't here last Monday. I didn't know you weren't here either.
Right.
So I went to the latest video and I listened and I heard that there was a quiz due and...
Well, it was a quiz.
It was
from the previous one.
Four,
right.
I missed them. Yeah,
okay.
Missed four.
So anybody that's missed a quiz or done poorly on a quiz or just wants to build up extra credit because they plan to do poorly on the final or whatever... should do extra credit. Extra credit is a good thing.
So by midnight tomorrow?
No, let's do next. We'll make it next week. So
oh.
I'll post it, but let's say that it has to be done by Tuesday of next week.
That sounds
thank you.
Nice.
Okay.
Very generous.
So go do that, and that will give you some points. Okay.
What's the student name? But I'm not getting anything when I change.
Okay, let's go in and do it. I'm going to save this one because I want to save it.
What I did was I just went over to all tables on the sides and I dragged the student table right over into the quarry.
Okay.
That quarry right there.
Yeah, that should work. Did it?
It worked. It went on in and I put from course number, I dragged the line to student name.
Okay, so this is the one that I have, right? Okay, so you dragged over student table. So there's the student table. And then I've got to link the student ID on this table to the student ID on that table.
Oh, okay.
And that makes the link, dragging it from one to another. And then I can bring down the student name, and there it is. So hopefully that will work.
So,
yeah,
so
that works.
What I did was I just dragged it from the course name right over the student name. It added the table in there, but it just wouldn't show anything up. Why would it let you do that if it won't even bring anything up?
I don't know, but it worked for me. So I don't know what section.
You have to link the keys.
You have to do the link. Or, but it actually gives you every possibility.
See what I did.
Well, you would know, because course number cannot.
course names and not his student name.
Yeah.
And that, so there'd be no matches, so that's why you got nothing. Because
it'd be nice if they wouldn't even let you do this, huh?
Yeah, right. No, they... Microsoft does try to hold your hand, but apparently that's not one of the areas that are big on doing it. So basically, now I've got the student's name over there. Okay? So to do this, with, I guess it decided I didn't want to keep it. All right. Whatever. Yeah, it added it. So basically, since I had two, I can just come over here and drag this table over, and that added a three to the table. Then I have to link the student ID on the two tables because I have to look at them and say, what do they have in common? Student ID. So I now link those, and then I drag down the student name so that it would show up in the query. Now, he was just talking about something he did wrong. Basically, he linked course name to student name. Well, if you do that, it's not going to work because the course name is a CIS something or other, and the student's name is something else, and it's never going to find a match. And since it never finds a match, it doesn't do anything. It gives you nothing. Okay, we'll look at a little more of these next time, and we will also, any extra time, you can start the homework for this one. Okay, we are done.